Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. We love Tom Thayer again. Woohoo! Tom joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Your car ready for fall weather? See your Car X man. Finally, the long civic nightmare in September is over. John Fox wins a game in September. The Bears win a game at Soldier Field. And it was a fun game, Tom. Although, you know, people, we had a complaint from a guy this morning saying it felt more like a Steelers loss than a Bears win. Hey, take it and run like a thief in the night if they're going to give you the ball. That's all I can say.
Yeah, you know, you got to do what you're capable of doing, and that the Bears did that. You know, they talked about using the term playing small ball, and because of the wide receiver position right now, that's what they had to do. And they played small ball with big chunks of yards from Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. So, hey, man, it's, you know, that is a you know, you can be successful in that way. You know, the time of possession, you create a turnover, you get some sacks, you know, and get yourself into the end zone as often as possible. I'll take it every time.
Yeah, and Tom, it's great to see the Bears capitalize on the Steelers' mistake early and play from a lead and never trail in that game. It's amazing what you can do with a running game if you're not down two scores.
It is, you know, and that's the key to any defensive coordinator with that has success is if he has an offense that can get him that 7, 10, 14-point lead, and all of a sudden you can get a little bit more aggressive at the line of scrimmage, and then the opponent's offense becomes a little bit more predictable on what they want to do because they're trying to play a little bit of catch up of their own. And, you know, that's a reputation Big Ben has. That first play of the game, he went after him. And the receiver did beat the cornerback for the Bears, and Big Ben just overthrew him by a half a step. So you kind of always keep that in the back of your mind, but it's about how you play up on the line of scrimmage.
And I thought they dominated the line of scrimmage. And, boy, you know, I knew Kyle Long was good, but it seemed to really change their team somehow, and they won up front both sides of the ball.
I tell you, Kyle, he's – you know, it's going to take him a little time. The whole conditioning, the amount of reps he needs, just the fact of getting confidence back in such a severe injury that you had. And, you know, with an offensive lineman, your feet are everything to you. If you don't have power to push three or four steps throughout the play, pull to your right and your left evenly, to get in a balanced stance so you're not, you know, giving a little bit of tells to the defense of what you're doing. You know, I think Kyle, the best is yet to come. The guy who impresses me week in and week out is Cody.
Oh, right, yeah, there. Absolutely.
Because when you look at the transition he can make within an instant, and then some of the key blocks he made yesterday and a couple Jordan Howard runs, and you don't have the chance to communicate the change of assignments because the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're going to blitz with no notification. And if you don't have a complete 100% understanding of your assignment and how you fit into the guy to the right or the left of you, they're going to blow up the play. And there's a couple, play 11 and play 38 of the offense. You know, you look at the block that Cody Whitehair made, one at guard and one at center. I'm impressed each week how he's able to help the offensive line.
It's amazing you saw even, there was an Adam Shaheen sighting in the end zone.
Yes.
And, I mean, Bryce Callahan had a play. Certainly, Sherrick McManus had a wonderful game. I mean, that's what
Marcus
it takes.
Marcus Cooper?
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know, one thing that's going to help Adam Shaheen is really a good blocker. Either at the point of attack, backside, downfield, second level, he really does a nice job at blocking. It's one of the first things you notice when he came to OTAs and then went through training camps. He has that innate ability to use his hands inside and get movement. And that's what's going to give him a better opportunity to be a receiver, because even on the play that he became wide open, the linebacker thought that he was coming towards him to get that second level block to have the point of attack in that direction. And then when the linebacker avoided him, next thing you know, he's out in a route wide open. So it's because he's a good blocker, it's going to give him those opportunities in the passing game.
That Marcus Cooper play was so God awful. I mean, I don't usually react to individual plays, but I had potty mouth on that.
Oh, one. I did too.
We all did.
Oh my God.
We all did. I was insane.
Oh, I bet.
Because, you know, the thing about it is, if you go back and you look at the Atlanta game and you look at the Tampa game, because of the self-inflicted mistakes that the Bears made, that's the reason, you know, that was more of a reason they lost the game than just their play-to-play effort. And then when you have an opportunity where Sherrick McManus gets that block, it bounces right to your hands, the next thing you should be doing is be celebrating the end zone with your teammates. Instead, you know, it's all this. It's they do it in college, you do it in pros, and I don't understand why any player feels he has a luxury. Since Leon Lett got slapped from behind by Steve Tasker, why does anybody think that they can slow down before they get to the goal line?
It was insane, and he claimed that he got confused as to where he thought he was already.
Yeah,
come on,
he stopped
and
at then, the 10,
and then everyone kind of gave him encouragement.
See, I was even getting mad at that.
I was too. I wanted someone to shove him.
Yeah, seriously.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I was upset. They all seemed to be
fist
bumping.
Don't
and,
hug him.
Yeah,
unless you're whispering. I'm
bad, Cooper. Bad.
You know that the goal line is thicker than the regular 5 yard line increment. So. No matter what, if you're going to run a 100-meter in the Olympics, you run through the tape. You don't run to the tape. And so, I don't know.
They got an offside. You know, then they're going to,
Charles Leno jumps.
They're bailed out here. They're going to be able to,
punch it in.
Punch it in. And then Charles Leno jumps. And it's great they got something out of that. But, boy, I mean,
You know what? I do think that they were going to get stuffed on that play that Charles jumped.
Oh.
So it's probably better that he did jump.
And you take the field goal.
Would they lose the game if that happened, Tom? Because, you start thinking about it.
That's why you were in overtime.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I didn't – you didn't know if the Bears were going to be able to capitalize on finishing the game 17-17 and then winning the coin toss and, going about your business. But – in the back of my mind, I'm saying if that comes back to haunt the Bears and they lose the game because of it, I don't know. I don't know if you're going to be able to keep a lid on the city. I think they're going to go crazy because it's funny because I live in the city and I'm down there and I have people that come up to me so often that were angry about the first 2 weeks. They'll be a little nicer this week, but I mean the Bears fan
base. It's your fault.
We do hold you responsible.
Yeah. There are people that 75-year-old guy pulling over in a car just to yell at me while I'm walking my dog. It's a true story.
I'm not 75.
Well, you drive that way.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, you mentioned the wide receivers. Is it getting better at any time soon? I mean, you have four targets, one completion, 9 yards, and it's great that the running backs caught everything thrown to him. But at some point, you're going to have to go downfield, and 3rd and 16, you have a guy, your quarterback, throwing a 9-yard pass because I guess you're worried.
They kind of took one shot with Marcus Wheaton,
yeah,
right?
But I mean, I
was ready for more of those, though.
I was too.
I think it's a combination of, having a group of wide receivers that are in there and on the practice field a week in and week out basis, and I think you can develop a little bit more understanding of how they run routes, how they're going to conclude routes, how they come out of breaks, and then you're going to have to improve your timing of throws of certain distances. Now, if a couple guys make catches in the game and there's a little bit more, added yards because of the wide receiver position, but they're not going to come in here and, bring the threat of some of the better wide receivers in the league, the Pittsburgh has a great group of wide receivers, and I don't think the Bears are going to develop that reputation, but they also don't need to. All they need to do is they got to be relied upon when their opportunity is given. They got to make sure they stay in our key, making key blocks for the success of the running game. I think the tight end has to have a major influence in the passing game for this team. And if you continue to run the ball with Tariq and Jordan Howard, you can succeed offensively speaking, but it's just not going to come through 300-yard passing games week in and week out. It's going to be because you're 130, 155-yard rushing team.
We'll let you go, Tom. Just on the way out here, let's be honest about it. If you're going to run that game plan and you're just going to thunder and lightning it with the backs running and you're not throwing down the field and all that, why not change quarterbacks? I mean, I think that maybe you get more play action. Maybe you get a guy roll out. I mean, it's an awful thing to say. Hey, congratulations, you won a game. But now I'm kind of like, okay, well, if that's how you're
playing. If you're going to manage the offense, well,
if you just.
You know, I think, you know, just, you know, don't make it a quarterback exclusive. I think every player each week needs to get an evaluation. And if they're not living up to their end of the bargain, then if there's somebody waiting in the wings, then those opportunities have to be given. So I think that you bring Glennon into the hostile environment of Lambeau Field, see how he performs then, see if he puts people in a position to succeed, and then, again, you have to make those strict evaluations.
All right, Tom, you're the best.
Thanks,
you, buddy.
Man.
Congratulations, the Irish, too. Good weekend for you.
Thanks for the victories.
Yeah.
It's all on Tom.
Wait till that 75-year-old guy gets hold of him today.
Yeah. You son of a gun, why don't you run the... Molly and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. 312-644-6767 is the number. We just had a chance to talk to Tom Thayer in the segment with Tom, brought to you by Ford. Tune in every Monday to Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, brought to you by your local Ford stores. And Tom talked about some of the big plays in that game and some of the moments and just getting a win, Brian. You know, being able to dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball was so crucial in that game. And boy, if indeed that Marcus Cooper play had ended up being the one that cost you, I don't know. We'd be having a much different conversation this morning. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, also you miss a field goal early in that game and you're thinking, uh-oh. I mean, this is, you know, you need every point possible against that offense.
Yeah.
And I really thought it'd be even a higher scoring game than it was. And again, some points were left on the field.
I picked the score perfectly.
Did you?
I picked 23-17, but I had Pittsburgh winning, not the Bears. So it wasn't – I'm saying the total
right. Yeah, and
that's
look,
about it.
The idea that Mitch Trubisky, you know, does this win change the conversation at all with on the quarterback situation? Certainly not with fans. We've gotten more than a small sample size about people still dying to see Mitch Trubisky and having seen enough of Mike Glennon. But it wasn't going to happen in Green Bay on Thursday no matter. No one was considering that at Halas Hall. So we see if that, in fact, with the – long layoff after this Thursday game, if the powers that be have a different way of seeing things with a quarterback and trying to elevate the offense that much more.
312-644-6767. Chris is on the road. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mo. I mean, if you're going to have Glennon standing back, just throwing one or two passes down the field and the rest of the game is going to be short, kind of like Jay Cutler that one year with just little dumb passes. You're not. What are we gaining? I mean, Trubisky gives you the option of possibly spreading the ball a little more. I know our receivers aren't any good, but if you get in a shootout, what are you going to do? You're not going to win by dumb passes. You know, you're going to have to. You got to get the kid in there. And
Chris, are you being attacked while you're telling us this? Because
yeah, I'm taking a walk in the dog.
Yeah,
okay.
Pop needs to go out. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
but, is that a euphemism?
It just doesn't seem like they. We need to get him in there, and if that's what we're, the game plan is going to be the same every week.
I'm with you. I think, you know, I was hesitant about Trubisky because they had a plan. They came into the season. I mean, he blew up the plan by being the best quarterback on the roster in the preseason. They moved things around so that he's ready to come in at a moment's notice. And then you watch a game plan like that and the fact that it succeeds. And Your game plan has to change, but that is the formula we've been waiting to see. Maybe it was Kyle Long coming. Whatever it was, that was the identity that we were anticipating from the Bears. They're going to be a real good defensive team. They're going to be improved. Their front seven is going to be good. They're going to win the line of scrimmage, and they're going to run the ball. And they're going to and Tarik Cohen's better than I thought he was. I didn't know that he was going to be your – kind of lightning storm, electrical storm, whatever you want to call that backfield. But you got one guy that can really
pound the ball.
And one guy that can cut back and out quick anyone. So it's a real fun combination, and it was fun to see. But I mean, you got to go down the field, man. I mean, they had a couple, and I think Trubisky would do that. And
absolutely.
I think you could roll him out.
He could do this at the minimum. He could do what Glennon's doing.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not like a drop-off.
If you're desperately playing a game plan to not have the quarterback lose the game. How much better could you be if you had a guy that could throw a ball down the field, that could, you know, use play action? They set up great play action with that, so it's just one that kind of confounds you a little bit. But I think the Bears did a fantastic job on both sides of the line of scrimmage. It was really something. All right, we're going to get to Joe with a scoreboard update. We'll be right back with Akeem Hicks. It's Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Akeem Hicks joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Your car ready for fall weather? See your Car X man. Good morning, Akeem. How are you?
Oh, look at you guys. All juiced this morning, too, eh?
We are a happy bunch, and we can thank you for that. I mean, all anyone wants, and I mean this sincerely, I think players, there's a siege mentality that kind of kicks in. All anybody wants is for the Bears to win. That's it. And it brings the city together because it's not like there's two different baseball teams and everybody's a Bear fan, and that's it. It's not, it doesn't seem like we're demanding that much. A victory makes us happy.
You're not. It's simple enough. It's simple enough.
Well, I thought I said it earlier and I'll say it again. You guys dominated the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball. And when you do that, it really kind of takes a lot of elements of the game and makes them just come down to that dogfight that we were looking for week in and week out. You guys really did a sensational job against a really good offense, and your offense also ran the ball, and that helps everybody.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. A great running attack from any offense is going to make your whole team better. You're taking time off the clock. You're keeping your defense off the field. You're probably putting us in better situations as far as field position. And, you know, that's a consistent thing that I think if we keep having that going forward, we'll be even better of a team. Defensively, that was our focus, and that's our focus every week, is to stop the run, make a team one-dimensional. And for the Steelers, that's one thing that they do really well. They run the ball very well. They have a great offensive line that's had some continuity, been together for a while, and Le'Veon Bell back there, who's just a dynamic runner in this league. What I've said earlier in the week was one of the most patient running backs I've ever seen. There are literally points in the game where he gets the ball and he's walking behind his offensive line in order to find that gap, and he's busting them for about 7-8 yards at a time. So, you know, it was a great step up by our team, and I look forward to continuing this.
It's great, Akeem, that you gave love to Sherrick McManus. You're president of his fan club. I love the fact that you recognize the special teams play of guys like that. Bryce Callahan was there to make a play, and you were there to get on the ball when he stripped out of Ben Roethlisberger's hands. Everyone, I mean, it was great to see Purnell in the backfield, and everyone had a hand in that thing, and you even overcame a couple of miscues, including Marcus Cooper's, I don't know what you call that, brain cramp. But, you know, it's great. It's a great feel-good when you overcome adversity and find a way to win that game.
Yeah, everybody, just like you said, everybody had their hand in it. That's an awesome thing. And yes, I am president of Sherrick McManus's fan club. I have a vote for McManus sticker on right now. I watch that guy all the time. And since I've been here for about a year and some change now, and he's been there longer than that. And I just watch him day in and day out. He's found his niche in the NFL. He is a special teams player, and he makes plays. Whether he's the first one man down on a punt or a kickoff or whatever he's doing it to the best of his ability, and it's just something awesome to see. And, yeah, everybody had their hand in the pot, man. It's a great feeling. One thing that I actually was talking about yesterday, one of the highlights of that last play to me when Jordan ran it in for the touchdown was just watching number 14, right, Deontay Thompson. I mean, he was blocking his butt off. Like, just, he took the guy for a ride. He looked like an offensive lineman out there, taking the guy 10, 20 yards over to the sideline. And what that says to me is just team. You know, everybody out there fighting towards the same goal and giving their all to do so.
You know, there's a lot there. I thought that the McManus block was a sensational play, and it was almost erased by Marcus Cooper pulling up before the goal line. But that play was fantastic. And the other part of it, when you watch it, is he's like the second guy in. I mean, he got up and ran his rear end back down, and he was in the end zone too. So kudos to him for all that hustle.
Yes, sir. Definitely, man. That's what he is. He's a hustler. He gives his all, and that's something to be proud of.
And Cooper made some plays in that game too. But as a teammate, how do you handle that? I know John Fox said, you know, he'll learn from it. But as a leader on this team, do you say anything to him, or does anything need to be said when it's that obvious?
He's a veteran, man. He's been around here for a while. There's nothing that needs to be said. I guarantee you there's nobody that feels as tough or as worse as he does about the situation. And, you know, what I will say, though, is he's not the first person in history to let that happen. I've been looking on social media all day. And
oh, yeah.
References to Leon Lett.
Yeah, Leon Lett. Oh, that's one of the all-time blunders in the history of the game because of the stage where that was. It was just a bad play all the way around, and it was kind of infuriating because, at one point looked like you might need those points, but the fact that you won allows him to learn a lesson while winning, and that's kind of what it's all about in the league, right?
Isn't that beautiful to not have to suffer the consequences from that letdown?
Yeah.
I think that nobody appreciates our offense more than Coop right now.
That's awesome. Hey, Kyle Long was back and made a big impact. You know, you're a big, strong man that throws people around for a living. He's a big, strong guy that kind of tries to prevent that. Do you go against him much? How good is he? The interior of that line, if Josh Sitton could get back, I think that Cody Whitehair is on a way to a Pro Bowl. That kid, it's amazing.
At this age,
in and out,
and all that's been put
position
on his plate. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, definitely. Which part of that question should I answer first? Kyle's a great athlete, and I know he's been so eager to get back, and I'm happy for him to see that he's, you know, gained confidence and strength in his previous injury. And, you know, what's funny is that last year we went head-to-head all the time. I mean, from OTAs, the first week that I signed, to freaking training camp. It was me and him, mano a mano, every day. And we loved each other for it because we had battles in the past when I played for previous teams. But, the guy's an athlete, and I love playing against him. As far as the long lineage goes, I actually got to meet his dad one time. And his dad is just a mountain of a man, so I can see where the pedigree comes from. What was the other part of the question?
Whitehair.
Cody, he's a stud. And a lot's been put on his plate. He was a center last year. Now he's playing guard. Now he's playing center. He's just having to play everything. And he's just a phenomenal offensive lineman. We'll leave it at that. I don't know what position to go to the Pro Bowl at, right, if he's playing guard.
They're spoiled for choice in selecting him.
Right.
Hey, Akeem, when you look at a game like that, and obviously we talk about turnovers and they were on special teams, does that sort of the plays like that, you know, the fumbled punt, we saw you guys have one of those. This time it was in your favor. Obviously, the blocked kick is like a turnover, and then you had one in return. You know, you had the fumble recovery, as Brian said. The turnover battle was what cost you down in Tampa. To reverse that a little bit really led to the big first half, and that must have been great in the locker room at halftime.
It's all about the team that makes the least amount of mistakes. Everybody's good at this level, right? Everybody can play the game and play the game hard. It's about the team that doesn't beat themselves, you know, and I think that we, you know, there was some points yesterday where, shoot, we were kicking ourselves in the butt. So I think at the end of the day, we held it together, kept faith in one another, and pushed through the adversity, and came out with the victory. And I think we came away with the turnover ratio battle win, right?
That's what matters.
Akeem, with the quick turnaround on Thursday night game, is it a benefit to have it being the Packers and the rival game? Because physically, mentally, the turnaround's tough enough. But if it wasn't a team that you have to get up for and you're naturally going to get up for, is that a benefit to play the division rival?
I can tell you what, I'm I'm juiced for it. I know this morning I definitely woke up and thought about who my opponent was this week, and there is a little excitement. I won't say there's an added, well, maybe there is a little bit of an added benefit to having to be a Thursday night game against the Packers. I was told as soon as I signed here, there's one game that you got to win every year, and that's the Packers. So, you know, when you get that kind of knowledge going forward, you take it to heart. You know what I mean? And it becomes, that's my rival. You know what I mean? So we look forward to going down that Thursday and giving our best effort and taking home a W.
This segment with Akeem Hicks brought to you by Ford. Tune in every Monday to Built Ford Tough. Bears Monday, brought to you by your local foods, by your local Ford stores. And Akeem, how hard is that? How hard is that? It's how different is it to come back on a Thursday? Does it bother you? Do you like the week after more? I think you got 11 days because you're playing on a Monday night. Is that this is a very quick turnaround. It's a very tough physical game. You guys played really tough. How difficult is it?
It was tough. It was long. We went into OT, right?
So, right.
You know, there's that added adrenaline, there's that added fight, you know, to the end, and the added excitement. So when you come down off of that, you know, it does last a little bit longer. But as far as the Thursday game after Sunday game, there's, I think, just about, well, there's a lot of teams that have to deal with this every year, you know. So I feel like we just have to man up and go out there and kick some butt. It takes a toll on you. It takes a toll on you. But you'll get it back on the back end, so.
Akeem, we'd have to ask you about the other story that was storyline developed yesterday and over the weekend with the NFL players, and you guys all stood arm in arm in unity. Steelers chose not to even come out for the anthem. What kind of thought process went in with the team trying to figure out exactly how you guys were going to handle it, and where does it go from here?
It was Friday night, I believe, that the comments were made, and Saturday, you know, There was a stir of conversation in the locker room throughout the day. And, you know, it went over into that night to where we had our Mr. McCaskey come down and speak to us, and Fox spoke to us about, you know, how they felt about the situation and really just presented the fact that they would be, you know, united with us and that they had our back at the end of the day. And we had each other's back, honestly. Because the words that were used I know the word that's been thrown around a lot is divisive, and I think that as a unit, as a team, and as a NFL as a whole, I think it's something that we wanted to show yesterday was the fact that we will not be separated, that we won't stand for people that want to see us on opposite sides and fighting and arguing and a bunch of different things. I think that you know, we don't want to get confused with you know, not being patriots and not being American citizens, and that we don't have respect for our country or respect for our national anthem. I think that the way that we showed that was the fact that we were still out there, locked arm in arm, united and unified, and showing. And you know, I really hate to talk about this because when I look at the office of the presidency, I was taught to respect that office. I was taught to hold that in high regard. And I just feel like I hate to see it being treated in such a manner. And I just hope that we can get past this and remain unified and together. And I think that was our mindset yesterday in locking arms.
Thanks a lot, Akeem. We really appreciate your time and congratulations. We're looking forward to win number two on Thursday.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
That's Akeem Hicks, the Bears defensive lineman. You know, it's really interesting what he said there, and we'll get to a little bit of that too next. 312-644-6767. The language that was used is, you know, just not going to be something that's going to bring people together. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That's Akeem Hicks. He just joined us, and that's obviously the big story that people are talking about nationally, about how you go about your deportment during the national anthem. We talked about it earlier in the program, and and we tried to have some civil discourse on it. And unfortunately, even the text, you get a lot of people that
– the vitriol is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a way to discuss things and to talk about it without turning it into some name-calling thing. But again, you know, when the president is name-calling, that sets a bad example. I just think that, you know, the call is for civility. Just please, let's have a conversation where we can disagree, but we don't have to call names to each other. We don't have to do all that nonsense. It's just dumb. Big D's on the South Side. Good morning, Big D.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, Big D.
I'm just now tuning in to what's going on as far as you guys' conversation. But nationally, President Trump might be the story, but locally, my story is the block field goal and the lackluster effort. Now, I know you guys might have touched on it. I'm just tuning in. Why is he still on the team?
He's got a three-year deal.
Yeah.
Okay? Not one, not two. He's got a three-year deal. He's got guaranteed money, and I mean, Brian said the same thing this morning.
I said this. Mike told the story about Jimmy Johnson walking on the field at Soldier Field to a guy. And
Kerwin Richards was the name of the running back, and the Dallas Cowboys were on their way to a Super Bowl, and they were going to win a Super Bowl, it was the Mike Singletary final game at Soldier Field. And late in that game, Kerwin Richards fumbled twice. He fumbled one time. They let it go. He went back out on the field. He fumbled again. Jimmy met him as he was walking off the field and told him
he cut him on the field.
He'd have to fly commercial. He was off the team. He cut him. He cut him right then.
I'm screaming at the TV,
that.
Big D, going,
yeah,
yo.
It was something else.
I would have told him to hit the tunnel and keep walking. Tell your story walking. But – you know, cooler heads.
People were hugging him. I heard myself.
That infuriated me much more.
It was such a dumb play. Yeah. He did not respect 90. There's only one rule. Only one rule. You got to respect 90.
You'll
right?
see the T-shirts.
That's our only rule on this show either.
Yeah.
Isn't it? No. No, we have more rules. I think there's a lot of rules.
Do they come in bear colors?
For the company.
We'll get not the blue and orange T-shirts. Respect 90 or 71
respect
yards.
90.
Yeah. No.
All
That's
right.
Poop.
I want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. And most of all, thank you so much for listening.
Much more Bears Monday coming right here on The Score. So stay tuned. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning live at 5. Please join us.
Victory Monday continues till Thursday. Then we'll find out maybe on Friday. Mully and Hanley on The Score.